him calling them blind. And also the disciples are with him. And the whole purpose of this parable is talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. And I know we talk about it quite a bit, but in being a shepherd, there are a lot of responsibilities that come with it. And as us being the sheep to the shepherd, we have some things that we have to do ourselves as well. And so beginning here in John chapter 10, I just want to go through the first half of this chapter and really see what Jesus is trying to pull from us that we can learn. So starting in John chapter 10, verse 1, it says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice the first thing that he says is this. If you are a head of the sheep, you enter by the door. Those that don't follow what God has laid out for us, the way he intended, he calls that thieves and robbers. And I want us to notice that the first thing that he points out, one of the most dangerous things that we can fall into, is deception. Thinking that just because you can get into the sheepfold, just because you can gather among in the sheep, does not automatically guarantee that you are correct. And in looking at this, we see that Jesus is the only way to find the true hope. He is the only means by which we can find what God is looking for in us. So it says, truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. He says, listen, if you want to be right, there's one way to do it. And that one way can't be opened by just anybody. And we're going to see that later in these verses. But recognize, first off, we must be careful about who we listen to and who we allow to shepherd us. Because if we just let anybody shepherd us, we're going to see that there can be some danger with it. So here in verse 3 it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice that the sheep's job is to follow the shepherd. The sheep aren't made to just go and do whatever they please. But we have someone that we need to follow and communicate with. And that not only is there only one that we need to listen to as a shepherd, but if we don't listen to the shepherd, are we doing our part? And so we notice there's only one way to get into the sheepfold. There's only one person that we can listen to while we are in the sheepfold. And then it continues on. In verse 4, it says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of the strangers. I hope we can recognize Jesus' voice among others. And I think if you look around in the world, we see that there can be quite a distinction between the voices. You know, some people say just do whatever works for you at the moment. Some people say if you aren't having fun, you aren't doing it right. And there are many slogans to back up those things and many others. But notice that if we want to know what to do, the shepherd lays it out for us. And it says, Jesus goes ahead of us as the shepherd, and then we follow. We don't go on our own and then look behind our backs and say, okay, now what do you want me to do? Because if we put ourselves ahead of God, what are we really saying? Do we think we need a shepherd? And in thinking about this, I really want us to pay attention to not only who the shepherd is, but what the shepherd is trying to do for us. He says, I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm going to put forth. And because you recognize my voice, you're going to follow me. And whenever you hear these other voices, these strange voices that don't follow and don't say what I say, you're not going to follow them because you don't recognize him. You don't recognize the safety that they're trying to lead you to. And in verse 6 it says, this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were, which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So notice what it's saying here. He says, let's take a step back. I am the door to the sheep. If you want to get in and out of safety, in and out of your resources, you have to go through Jesus. Again, if there are any other means that you try and access safety, will it work? Jesus says no. And again, Jesus is speaking here to some of the religious rulers. He's speaking to his disciples. And we see at the towards the middle of this chapter, they don't like this very much because he's telling them something that they don't want to hear. Because a lot of times we want to go our own way. And we want to follow what we think is best for us. But until we follow what Jesus says, there's no telling what's going to happen. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He said, the people that stand out in my eyes are the ones who have nothing to do with others besides me, who don't have any desire to listen to anybody but Jesus. So those are the sheep that I trust. And those are the sheep that I lead. Notice that you can't lead if nobody follows. You can't lead those that drag behind and go on their own path. You just can't. So he says, the one that listened, those I have been ahead of. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Saving. Salvation's involved. What happens if we go and try and find protection where the shepherd hasn't allowed us to go? Can we trust that we're going to be safe? If Jesus says, I want you to stay in this parameter, and then you decide to go out on your own somewhere else, is the shepherd going to be there? And if Jesus is the only way that we can access safety and the only way that we can listen and be right, and then we go and try and do our own thing, things are not going to turn out for the good. It said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does destruction look like? Does destruction always look like being buried in a casket underground? Because I know that if you look out in the world, there is a lot of destruction going on, physically and spiritually. The people who think that they can just go and do whatever they want and they are fine. But we see where they end up. Because we know that they don't follow Jesus. We know that they don't stick with what His plan is and what He's designed for us. And notice, everything's already been laid out for us. Jesus is always going to be at least one step ahead of us. And it's our problem to follow. And not to step out of bounds and not to do what we want. But what Jesus has already designed so perfectly and so well. We have it in front of us. And He says, those who aren't of Me, they're here for destruction. They're here to tear down what has already been built up. And for us as sheep to go and to follow after things that aren't meant for us to follow after, who can't even enter through the door of Jesus but decide to climb in instead, it's not a safe place to be. And so here in this next verse, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The second half says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And here's where the big part comes in. It says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now I know whenever we think about laying down Jesus' life, our first thought is probably going to be the crucifixion. And that's exactly right. But I also want us to think about the fact that at this point, Jesus hasn't been crucified. And at this point, these people are not thinking, oh, He's going to die and be raised in 3 days. And so that's probably not the whole intention of this point. Though, it's a big one. Is there a sacrifice to help others? When we go out of our way to protect what we've been given, do you have to lay down a part of your life for it? I know for those who have children, it's quite the sacrifice to make every decision with others in mind, to know that whatever you do is going to affect others directly. And the first thing that he says in making this next point is, as the good shepherd, you can know that I am the good shepherd because I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. I'm going to give everything that I have in order for the sheep to survive, in order that they may grow and that they may nourish and that they may do well. Says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And this is where the deception comes in. If we become deceived and start to think that anything that we can follow is worth following, and we decide to go after something that isn't willing to lay their life down for us, who isn't going to go out of their way to save us, even if it's their so-called job, it's going to hurt us. And it's not only going to hurt us, but it's going to destroy us. He says, look, there are people out here who get into the sheepfold and aren't doing too bad. And then as soon as danger comes, what do? They flee. They say, I don't want anything to do with this because this is dangerous. This could cost me. And so you see coming into the sheepfold, but not doing what they are supposed to do. You see how you can do a little bit of what's right and still be so wrong in the long run? You can believe things that may sound true at first. But unless it's of Jesus, and it's of what He's calling us to do and to be, I pray that we watch out for that. Because then as soon as danger comes up, we're going to run away. And we're not going to know what to do. And not only that, but we're going to hurt others around us. So it says, he who is a hired hand, notice they're in it for money. And not a shepherd, it's not even their real job. And who is not the owner of the sheep. There's no connection there. Their mind isn't in the right place. They have no concern for what they're taking care of. And there's no benefit for them except to leave. And in Jesus, we see something a whole lot different than that. Does Jesus talk anything about here about being paid back for what he's done? Does he mention in this passage, I only lay down my sheep for the sheep who are willing to lay down their lives for me too? Does he say that in this passage? No. But as a good shepherd, he does expect a sheep to follow. And notice that at this point in seeing that Jesus is already doing and giving as much as he can, it then becomes up to us as to whether or not we will be saved. Because if he's already giving his life, what else can he give for us? He says, I've laid out in front of you what to do. And I promise that even if danger comes, I will not flee. Because my motives are in it as pure. But you have to follow. You can't go and follow somebody else just because it looks good at the moment. Because you will soon find out that as soon as something bad starts to happen, they're going to be gone. And you're going to be left all by yourself. So he says, he was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about his sheep. Is there any concern? Are we concerned about who we follow? I hope and pray that we are. I hope that we see Jesus as the one that we should follow, not only because he's the best option, but because he's the only option for us to be saved. He's consistent. He's always going to be there. He's already laid everything out in front of us for us to follow. Notice, we don't have to lay out any of the actions on our own. And he's promised to lay down his life for us. Can you ask of anything more than that? Can you say, Jesus, can you come back again and save us another time? He's already saved you. He's already laid out everything that you need. And he says, even if you decide to stray as sheep tend to do, the path is still there. The life is still there to be given for you. But are we going to do anything about it? Says this other shepherd, he flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do we have a relationship with Jesus? One where we can hear his voice and hear what he's trying to tell us, and that we can respond right away? Do we recognize that there is something bigger than just keeping us alive, but allowing us to move and to communicate as family? And it's not only to try and keep us alive for the sake of a job, but that he's trying to keep us alive because he cares so much about us. He's not in it for the money. He's not in it for the attention just to be in. He entered as he was supposed to. He takes care of us more than we deserve. And he does it all because he knows our voice. And he said, I've paid attention enough to each one of you to know who you are. But do you pay enough attention to me to know who I am? To know that whenever I'm in danger, I know who to look to, who to follow, who to go back to. Or am I going to follow whoever I can find first? Go whatever seems best temporarily. And I hope we know the right answer to that question. It said, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he comes to verse 16 and he says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Now this is talking about after he's died and being risen again. Of the Gentiles coming and for so long being away from this sheep, away from this flock. And he says there will soon be a time where we can all be together as one. And not only be as one sheep, but also under one shepherd together. And he says, just wait, because right now what we are pushing away is soon to be a part of us. Don't be deceived. Because even if right now it doesn't seem like everything's going as planned, there's a plan for these people to be saved that you don't recognize. You know, if you turn back with me to John chapter 9, the previous chapter, starting in verse 35, it says this. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have seen both him, and he is the one who is talking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him, being Jesus. And Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, that those who may see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, We are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. Notice there are people of the world who do not see the way that we do. And Jesus is coming for those people. Coming to save the lost of the world. But notice it's all in our response. We must recognize that we don't see clearly on our own. Because the Pharisees' mistake here isn't not recognizing Jesus at first. Because they start to recognize who Jesus is. But the mistake is being deceived into thinking that they are okay on their own. And Jesus says here in chapter 10, there's going to be a combination of people that has never existed before. And even though that all these people are going to come as one, there's still only going to be one thing in common. That they are the people who know my voice. And who can recognize that they can't go on their own, but have to follow through me. And that's a big statement to make to these people. These are the people who think that they know it all. And yet Jesus says, just wait. Because the same people that you are bashing right now and saying aren't worth a dime, these are the people I'm laying down my life for. says in verse 17 of chapter 10, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." Notice it's up to Jesus what happens here. And Jesus says, "I freely give away my life. I give it on my own initiative because I want to. I have the authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. I took the opportunity to save these people. And I took the chance on them and I think that they deserve it. And not because of what they've done, but because of who I am as Jesus." And he says, "I've promised to lay down my life for these people. And even though I can say no to this, I choose to do it." And he says, if you want to talk about who has the real control here, it's going to be me. I'm the one who can say no. I'm the one who can say yes. And I'm going to give my life for these people. But notice the response here in verse 19. It says that a vision occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" And others were saying, "These are not the sayings of the demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" These people just don't understand. They say, "We don't get it. He's got to be insane because he just doesn't make sense right now." But there are a few who do. There are a few that recognize that not everybody can make people see what they don't usually see. And to make powerful statements like this are really scaring the Pharisees. But the sad part is it doesn't make them second guess themselves. All it does is it causes them to bring about more anger towards Jesus. And there's a lot of no's that we have to give to the world. And there are a lot of times that we have to shoot down things that the world says are great ideas. And we have to sacrifice and lay our lives down too. And in order to follow after the one shepherd who is going to give us all that we need, we can't follow the others. We can't give separate attention to separate things when Jesus is the only one who deserves it. He's not a hired hand. He's not in it for some wealth, some material gain. But he's in it simply because he cares about us. He says, "I have the initiative to take my life and I have the initiative to keep it." And the choice that he has made for us is to take it. And to lay down his life whenever any danger comes our way. But do we trust that? Do we recognize that the one in control is the same one who asks us to follow him? Who says that if you look at me, you don't have to worry about anything else. There are going to be wolves that come after us. There are going to be times when things don't seem like they should be happening the way that they do. But we've been promised life. And we've been promised a path that has proven to work. And I pray that we follow it. And I pray that we keep with the shepherd who has so carefully guarded us and who is so eagerly listening for our voices. So as we continue our walk, trust in the Lord. Trust in the same one who has decided to save ourselves instead of him. And in doing so, life is promised.